Good morning. I'd like to thank you for coming here. I know it was a journey to get across the crowds here. And last day of the session. How many have been here the whole time? I just got here yesterday. So I'm energized. I imagine that you're probably a little bit tired, stressed out. Yes? So I'd like you to take just a few moments. And I'd like everybody to take a deep cleansing breath. Just take a deep breath, breathing in and out. One more time. Okay, now we're going to modify that just a little bit. I want you to think about how you're taking your breath, breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, but almost everybody here was focusing on a pectoral breathing pattern, breathing up. I'd like you to try breathing through using your diaphragm. So a diaphragmatic breathing, belly coming out, and put your hands in this type of position, and as you breathe in, we're going to move those apart, breathing in, and now exhale, bring them close to that. Breathing in, and out, breathing in. And now we should be rejuvenated.
Okay.
So, as required, I have no relationships to disclose, probably too much of a relationship with food, but, you know, along the lines, I think they were mostly talking on financial aspects. I gave a list of what everybody else is associated with the project, too, also having no financial conflicts. Marty and Paul down at the bottom, both of those get a lot from teaching people how to teach Tai Chi, so they get teaching fees. But Hung Tao, who's a postdoctoral fellow in our lab, and I don't have those, I mostly teach for free. So when I have all that teaching experience, I just completed 12 weeks of teaching adults through an OLLI program, Osher Lifelong Learning, for the local institution, and if anybody's ever taught for them, you know that they pay the institute, but the instructors volunteer their time. It's the way we keep those things going for adult learning purposes. I posted the abstract. I don't think we need to go through that. But what I wanted to point out was that I sort of got into this a little bit different. My background is not really in falls prevention. My background started out because I wanted to look at the effects of this unique exercise modality on patients who had arthritis and diabetes, etc. There's a lot of literature, and I'll go over there, mention some of that indicates its benefit. So I'm an immunologist by training. And the reason why I started looking at postural stability, because at one time I had a hypothesis that for people to be able to get benefits, you needed to be able to demonstrate a certain level of expertise in being able to do Tai Chi. I don't think that's true anymore, based on some of the studies, but as a measure of that, we started looking at postural stability and measuring the changes in the flow patterns people are practicing. So what I hope everybody gets out of this at the end is to be able to discuss several health benefits of practicing Tai Chi and also be able to determine how you can set up something like this in your community or workplace. And I don't think we need to go over that. Those areas on costs, etc., were covered adequately previously. So I'm here to talk about a multidimensional, multi-comorbidity intervention that's easily adaptable in a broad spectrum of communities. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about Tai Chi, what it is, and its relationship to Qigong. Qigong is what you were practicing there. You were mindfully breathing in and out. You were working your energy internally. And so Tai Chi is a form of exercise. It's actually a component of Qigong. And they both focus on physicality, mindfulness, and an internal energy of qi. As a basic scientist, I sort of push the qi side off to the side, that my colleagues like, and particularly the older folks in the community like when we talk about that type of stuff. even in a Midwest environment. So they like that. So I'll bring that in. I actually have a friend who measures group dynamics, looking at changing in geomagnetic fields in large groups of individuals by using geomagnometers spread throughout the room, and she can actually pick it up. There are about five major styles of Tai Chi, okay? Yang, Chen, Sun, and then the two Wus. Yang is perhaps the most widely practiced around the world. Chen is the oldest, and it's got very hard martial arts characteristics. Although Yang Yang at University of Illinois has been able to adapt the Chen forms to, again, a health style. Most of the health styles have been adapted either from the Yang or the Sun style. So if somebody wants a little bit more, I've been over to his site where he was working in a community setting. 80-year-olds doing Chen was just amazing to me. You know, it has been modified. There's no spinning jump kicks or anything left in it. And you'll see that with that. So within each style, we're also going to see that there's major and minor variations depending upon where they're practiced, who's teaching it. And again, that becomes an important characteristic of what the health styles are, who's teaching it, and how it's being taught. They all have similarities, they're choreographed movements. Tai Chi was a defensive technique. So even when I'm teaching this breathing technique, you know, I can tell somebody how to defend themselves using this type of technique. And older individuals, believe it or not, are still very interested in learning this. There are traditional styles which are very martial arts oriented. They tend to have high levels of injury associated with them. Then that has been adapted over the years to a competition style that focuses more on the beauty of the moment and athletic ability. And then the health adaptive styles, which really don't have, they've had most of the, in fact, I would say almost all of the possible causes of injury removed from them. And so we don't have any jumping kicks there. We may have them balancing on one leg for a gentle kick, but the kick could be at a low level, it could be at a high level. So there's a great variation in that. And so those are things that when one makes recommendation, you know, I have a lot of clinical colleagues who are and say, oh, go take Tai Chi for fall prevention. I've been around the world in Sydney, Korea, watching Tai Chi. I've been around the United States watching it, Florida, several other states. Really, there's a difference between a traditional Tai Chi and something that's been adapted specifically for health. And there are really good programs out there, Dr. Lee's, Dr. Lam's, quite a few of them are out there, a little bit different than some of the other Tai Chi forms that are available out there. Typically, what we're going to be looking for is slow, continuous movements. These are some of the principles of Tai Chi. We want to talk about balance and alignment. And then I think if we wanted to talk about any type of broad spectrum intervention, it's mindfulness. So, you know, I listened to the number of falls in healthcare workers because of the cord on the fall. The cord didn't jump out and trip them. The water on the floor didn't cause them to do that. The fact is that there were generally mindless activities going on. And I watched the ones going up the stairs coming out of the stadium. It was because somebody was turning and looking away. I mean, the stairs didn't move, but people aren't necessarily conscious of how they're moving. This is city San Francisco, right? We're in San Francisco. So there was a movie that I really liked that was filmed here called Princess Diaries. How many have seen that? Princess Diaries. There was one movement where she was being taught how to walk, and she started walking just like this. Okay? Well, you're right. We need to start working with the younger groups, because when I walk around the college campus, they're not only walking like that, but they're walking like this, looking at the, there's no mindful activity going on at all. And so I think that's one of the main principles of Tai Chi that makes it an effective intervention, multidimensional intervention, is that there's a mindfulness, okay? Many of the people that I work with talk about, because when I have them practicing, it's not just the movements, but we also work on stepping and making sure that they're not committing all of their weight all at one time. And I particularly in art, in my environment in Indiana, it's starting to get to the cold season, it's wet. I talked to them about stepping on ice. Anybody who's running these programs talks about that, not committing all of your weight at the same time. I have them coming, wow, you know, I would have fallen if I hadn't been aware of what I was doing. There's a body awareness. We also talk about sung opening up. And then this one here, qi follows yi, famous Chinese statement. Qi follows yi. Your energy or your activities are going to follow your mind or your thought. And too often, people aren't doing that. You know, as we go even drive around the street, we're thinking about something else. I was watching everybody walking around the street earlier. So this is just a list of reported health benefits of Tai Chi. So we wanted multidimensional activities, you know, not necessarily, I've never seen, well, there's one case of somebody who tells me all of his Tai Chi practices helped his eyesight, but one of my senseis is legally blind. And so it is an activity that can be done when you have reduced vision also. There's a reduction in blood pressure that was done by Gloria Ye at Harvard. Improvement of sleeping, Michael Irwin's group. Glucose metabolism, increased heart variability, which is a general status look. Improved immune function, pain management, management of depression and anxiety, and fall prevention. Thank you. This is just a list of recent published data that go over the benefits, and I wasn't going to go over all of them. Okay, they're looking at particular things. Okay, so it's sort of a yin and a yang of the reviews. Some find really strong positive benefits. Others say, you know, you didn't blind it. The people who were doing the intervention weren't blinded, and the people participating in it weren't blinded. It's really kind of hard to blind somebody, you know, doing Tai Chi. But, you know, they have a reduction in the number of reported falls, reduced fear of falling, improved physical conditioning, straight gents. But I think the biggest issue is it with mindfulness. One of my studies that I happen to look at with a long-standing group of long-term Tai Chi practitioners, it's the only real data that I'm going to show today, but what we found that their postural stability did not decrease based on their BMI. And so this is really the first study that I noticed that. Postural stability is supposed to decrease as weight goes up, and these were long-term Tai Chi practitioners. Even the ones that have really high BMI that were in the obese category still maintain good postural stability. And Tai Chi is not going to be used for weight reduction. You know, I wish that could be something I could say along the line, but at least they can manage it, and they're doing well and not falling. They're maintaining it. They're aware of what's happening with their body. Tai Chi for arthritis was actually developed because Paul was sending patients out, and they were reporting he was going out to the community. They were reporting that they were coming back with a lot of pain. And so as an internationally recognized Tai Chi practitioner and as a physician, he worked with a team of physical therapists, rheumatologists in Australia, and he adapted the form. It's been accepted by the Arthritis Foundation around the world. Evidence is there to look at pain reduction and fall reduction, both of those. So this is the Tai Chi for Arthritis form that is sponsored by the American Arthritis Foundation. Okay. Why this is good for broad communities, there's already 4,000 trained individuals, which 2,000 of them are currently listed in the U.S. There's a two-year recertification program. If they don't recertify, they're not on the list, which is why there's a drop-off in it. But on the other hand, they still have the knowledge to be able to do this. There's over 4,000 others globally. And then there's other Tai Chi for health. There's some that are Tai Chi for diabetes only. So there's minimal additional instructor fees associated with it. We want to talk about cost effectiveness. Free to about $10 an hour. Most of my classes are free. This is Paul teaching it to a large group in Italy at a university of Bologna, the oldest institute in Australia, or in Italy rather. This is a group with the New Zealand Falls Prevention Group. They just finished it. Here's a study, the largest study to date with Alex did this in a community setting. He looked at 702 older individuals in Sydney. 340 were randomized into the Tai Chi group, 337 in the other, and 76% had the Tai Chi for arthritis being reported. Another study from Australia, the Physical Activity Leaders Network program. Most of these individuals taught for free all around there. Again, thousands of individuals in a site. This is one dealing with arthritis, University of North Carolina. The mechanisms we're seeing, when my lab looks at it, what we see is a reduction in the pro-inflammatory cytokines, which generally are the ones that are involved in pain, and an increased elevation in the anti-inflammatory cytokines. So we think that there's a biological mechanism that could be used to do this. So if you wanted to set a program up in your community or at your workplace, you can target the contact the Arthritis Foundation. That's a University of Indiana University. That's what we're going to be working through with the Arthritis Foundation. We'll identify instructors in the area, also bring in people. We'll then go ahead and hold the Tai Chi for fall prevention classes. And then the big thing is to have fun. And that we see with the communities all around. So there's a lot of scientific evidence. I didn't want to give this on the last day, because again, it gets tired looking at most of it. And mine would be all biological. So this is actually a group of individuals. The oldest one that I taught here, oh, okay. This young lady over here is 90 years old in this picture. And so these are breast cancer survivors. But again, most of them came in not being able to stand more than 5 minutes. So recent chemotherapy. Well, I think that's the end. Thank you.
Captured 227 falls from 130 individuals, mean age 78. Most frequent cause of falling was incorrect weight shifting, which accounted for 41%, 93 of 227 of falls followed by trip or stumble, 48 pieces, 21%. Yeah, you can go on the videos that they post on the Atlanta website on the internet. You will see where Tai Chi could help a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have friends who do this for a living, trying to get people who have mobility issues, and they can be doing exercises that they don't like, just moving on the side, or they can be doing it in a group session. So group dynamics plays a lot into it. Weight transfer, you're right, and mindfulness.
I have a question for Mr. Paul. On the vaccinating, I would imagine retrofitting stairs would be incredibly expensive, in residential settings. And I guess the tread width is critical. What about surface coverings? Do you find like carpet being worse than hardwood or something like that?
No. And the answer to your first question is it's not expensive.
Oh, okay.
The most common aesthetic defect, which is the top of life law, costs in material terms, $10. It only involves putting a piece of wood that's missing on the top nosing there. And you can buy that at Home Depot for $10. And the insulation is probably on the order of $100. It's an easy retrofit. And you'll get more bang for the buck for that, because if you try to compare the step geometry and carpeting and so on, you might affect the fall rate by 100% or so. With the systemic defect, you can improve the safety of the stair by an order of close to 100% for that particular fall scenario. It is the most effective thing, because it is code defect that the officials aren't getting it. It can be fixed very easily. So I wouldn't despair about this being too expensive. We could overnight, literally, if the what was demonstrated in the NBC Today Show was taken apart by injury prevention professionals and implemented. And we retrofitted these homes that have these defects versus systemic defects. And we know exactly where they're even finding them. We could cut the injury toll in the U.S. down by at least half, almost overnight.
So, generally, you've seen the effect of IT while prevention on a negative.
I was working with nurses, yes, I saw that there was an increase in mindfulness, and also I think that's part of one of the issues, or one of the biggest benefits. Yes, weight transference is clearly something that we teach. But, you know, we're talking about the 45-year-olds. I think most of their postural stability issues are there. I think when you look at the number of falls that they have, I think it's because they're not mindful of what they're doing. And so I think this brings us back in, you know. So we spend a lot of time, or I spend a lot of time, and most of my colleagues do, even just getting them to put their foot down differently. So, you know, they would normally be walking with a particular gait. I start changing the gait, playing with it with them. You know, how to feel to put the heel down first, or the toe down. How to feel to try getting both of them down at the exact same moment. And can you actually mindfully be aware of it? So, you know, I've seen it working with younger individuals also in the nursing community, but I think part of their issue is stress. And the stress is because it was at the group of oncology nurses. And I think what helped them was also the stress modification that's associated with it, which then allows them to get back into a more mindfulness activity. But I've never done the data, and it would be very interesting to do it in a hospital setting, because again, it's multidimensional. You know, we could look at the effect of stress on it, we can look at the reduction in injuries, etc.
Quick question. Penetrative wellness, that whole like what phase wellness?
Yes.
Total wellness.
Total wellness component with them. Yeah. Helps with the glucose metabolism. I mean, I don't know what the nurses are like in your area, but I know most of the nurses in our hospital have a weight distribution issue.
I just have a comment about with all
thank you everybody for coming and for the pictures.